Let's bring him in. The captain, 21 years of service. It is Vets Talk, ladies and gentlemen. 21 years, 8 in the U.S. Navy, 13 in the U.S. Army, and, of course, the great organization that he is in charge of. And I'm talking about Veterans for a More Responsive Government, the aforementioned. By the way, Vets Talk, I want to tell you, sponsored by Turley, Redmond, Rosasco, and Rosasco with five locations, including Ronkonkoma, by the way. 631-750-7815, specializing in so much, workers' compensation, Social Security disability, construction accident, veterans' disability benefits cases in and around Long Island, as well as New York City. And the aforementioned now, usually in-house, but because he is listening to his wife, and rightfully so, because even though we call him the captain, he really is a captain. There is another captain within the Cornicelli household. And when she says, you ain't going anywhere, sir, you stay put, and he listens, rightfully so. Welcome aboard, sir.
Good morning, Jay.
And that is true, by the way, right?
He is the major.
She is the major, without question. Lots of, I mean, of course, you know, a lot of people say, well, why isn't the captain in the house? Well, for one thing, he is social distancing, and rightfully so, with all that's happening in and around. So we appreciate that. Great to have you here. So, Captain, give us the rundown of the latest. What is going on? Lots happening, I know, with Beacon House, you know, supplies, everything else, Phoenix Houses, New York and the island. I want a little bit of a rundown here on everything. Go ahead.
You know, Jay, they teach in the Army, once you get to your objective, your mission's complete, you have to have a plan of action at that point. You can't just beat the enemy and then have a vacuum. And while we have this virus going around and disrupting everyone's lives and the lives of these poor veterans in these shelters, we're still working on a plan afterwards. And that's why we were going to have the sheriff in the studio today. I don't know if you read their website and saw, and really realized what the sheriff's office does. You know, it's a great landing spot for veterans coming off active duty. And, you know, we're spending most of our time helping to support these shelters, but we're still looking for opportunities that once this crisis is over, we can jump right back into getting veterans returning from active duty or homeless veterans back into the workplace. And I think I emailed the sheriff on a Monday, and by noon that same day, I got a call back. And I'm very impressed with it. And I'm starting to be really impressed by a lot of our Long Island elected officials with the speed that they get back to me on with, you know, when it comes to these issues.
Yeah, we're seeing good leadership here. You need it right now, no question. You're seeing it from the governor. You're seeing it from the county executives. You're seeing it from Lee Zeldin. In essence, well needed right now. What's the latest regarding the Beacon House deal?
Well, I mean, so we work with United Veterans Beacon House. Their CEO is Frank Amalfitano, and Tina Sferraza is the director. We work with Phoenix House, New York and Long Island. You met Anne-Marie Foster, the CEO, and Danielle Bonaparte, their Veterans Service Director. And we also work with Suffolk County United Veterans. They have the best place out in Yaphank. Wilkins Young is the director. And a name you'll be familiar with, Rosasco, Linda Rosasco, a member of the Rosasco family, is actually the social worker that handles the vet's place. And what I didn't know, which I found out, I think it was Monday, they have five more veteran houses that they have out in Suffolk. I didn't know that. We will now be covering them for our holiday meals. But what this virus does for the veterans within these facilities, they can't get to their care. They can't get to do their telehealth, their support groups, their self-help meetings. So another thing that I now have to ask the public, and Jay, we need a push, because the guys and girls in this position, if they don't get the help they need, they go back in their recovery, and you know what happens, 22 a day, that number's going to rise. So we're looking for functional iPads, iPhones, laptops that you no longer need, so we can get them to these facilities and they can do their telehealth and their support groups online. the minute you break up a support group where someone's comfortable talking to someone else in person about their problems, and now they can't do that, that's a major problem.
Without question, the captain with us, Robert Cornicelli, listening to Vets Talk, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just tuning in, we do a segment a couple of times a month on a Wednesday, and we focus in on just that, veterans. And we all know that Suffolk County is the largest population in the state, give or take 120,000, 130,000 of our fine veterans. I know also in this time of need, Captain Cornicelli, there's plenty of work going on with Uncle Giuseppe's, Walmart, Sam's Club, and others. And he's trying to create this pipeline out of these organizations, and you're talking about a steady supply of food and cleaner. And this time of the year, we think of stuff like that. Very important. But it's good to see Uncle G's kind of coming through amongst others.
Yeah, so I had been asking certain people to help me raise money to offset the cost to feed homeless veterans in shelters. And they actually had a valid question. Why are these shelters not paying for the food themselves? They have a budget. They get paid by the Department of Social Services or the VA. And I had to look into that. And it's kind of, you know, sometimes people don't like questions, but they're questions that must be asked. And here's how I got this down so people can understand. Most, if not all, organizations budget for the upcoming year. So most people create their budget 2019-2020. A budget for, let's say, the Vets Place out in Yaphank. That was created last year. $500 a month will buy enough food for them to cook in that facility for 25 people. Can't do that now. Now they have to get a deli to prepare the meals to bring them there. They can't cook. They can't go out and get enough food. So they have to cater it out. That's not $500 a week anymore. So now they're out of food. The delis that are supplying them are doing it, and they're in the red now. My daughter just walked in. So we have to understand that this crisis is making it hard on these nonprofit organizations who rely on sort of, you know, Department of Social Service money to pay for the food. Now that money's not there. Well, it's there only in a portion. So again, we need to build bridge lines and pipelines to, let's say, in Uncle Giuseppe's, where I spoke to the manager there and I said, you know, Beacon House was short on meat the other day. I need a large supply of meat weekly. Can you put aside, you know, this amount for, you're talking about 200 people. And they're working it out. They're going to figure out how they can set aside enough for Beacon House and Phoenix House and the best place to come in, get what they need, pay. We're not looking for anything for free. Pay for it and get it to the shelters. And the same with Walmart and Sam's Club. I'm working with their corporate offices to try to get them to say, when they drop off a shipment of a pallet of toilet paper to a Walmart, put one aside, and we'll pay for it. And we'll get that out to the vets, the homeless shelter. And it's a struggle, but you know, what are you going to do?
Now, you can only hope, and you're seeing a lot of cooperation right now. Captain Cornicelli. So that's a good thing. People certainly get it at this point in time. They know what they got to do. What about anything you could tell us regarding Northport, VA, the shelters there? Are they operable as far as beginning of May with all that's going on right now? Is there an interruption of any kind? What about that aspect?
There's a major interruption. Again, bureaucrats do what bureaucrats do most, which is take a problem, put it on their desk, and sit on it. And I worked in a bureaucratic organization, and sometimes things move very slowly there. I work for the DIA, and, you know, you just don't rush into things. They have to be looked at and overlooked and overlooked again so there are no mistakes that someone could hold you accountable for. So someone submits a protest against the Beacon House contract, and in essence what they're doing is hurting the veterans because now the place is not opening again. And with people working from home and the shortage of people in the offices to address this, it's on hold, and veterans once again suffer. They could have opened it. They could have let Beacon House have it. They could have said, you got a six-month extension. Let's work through this protest. But you know as well as I, Jay.
It's terrible.
Frustrating.
That is frustrating. That's why we have people in place, you know, to hopefully support these causes and everything else. But I know your organization is doing a tremendous job as always. Why? Because you're running it. You know, a lot of people are suffering right now, you know, getting access to, getting access to hand sanitizers and Lysol and Clorox wipes and bleach and toilet paper, paper towels. You know, this is what the Phoenix houses of New York and Long Island need. And that's why there's such support here regarding the United Veterans Beacon House and Suffolk County United Veterans. It's so important what the captain does here. And supplies like that are needed, and they're going to be needed as we get on with this mess, right?
Yeah, I work with two guys in the town of Oyster Bay Sanitation Department. I'm an inspector there. Another inspector's name is Mike Durso, and my boss, Dan Pearl, he's a deputy commissioner. I only had to say to them one time, I need help. I can't do this myself. I can't call all the big box stores. I can't call all the grocery stores. I need help. If it's not at least twice a week, they come in with, even if it's a four-pack of toilet paper, a can of Lysol. I mean, it's just that effort that they put in that one can of Lysol is going to clean, it's going to sanitize one house for a good week. I mean, if everyone just looked at when they go shopping and they grab something, just grab one more. Or sit and talk to the manager and say, hey, you know, you have three or four homeless shelters in your town. Can you call them and see what you can do in terms of setting stuff aside, not asking for anything for free? We need things set aside because they're buying in bulk. And it's just one person. Let's just say in Phoenix House, it's one person going out and doing shopping. That person's getting harassed when they go to the store and they're buying, you know, two huge things of toilet paper, and they're trying to say, listen, this is for homeless veterans. They're getting harassed. We need people to step up and help us make these create these pipelines so people within these facilities can do what they do best, which is the social working, the counseling, and they're not standing on a line at a store from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., you know, when they're letting five people in. We have to do this stuff. And it's not just the organization. You don't understand what you do, how much your show does for homeless veterans. If it wasn't for you, we'd never be at this point in our life.
Well, I appreciate that. It's a concerted effort. There's just no way there should be anything lacking here. It's unconscionable to even think about this. Are there any types of supply drives going on, Bob? Is there anything we need to know date-wise here?
No, there aren't. What we're working on, instead of these piecemeal, Long Island Cares, and the pantries are helping out the shelters, but we need a supply. You know, that stuff's good to get people by for the week. Frank Massatano was telling me Long Island Cares, I think it was, helped them out for this week. I'm like, okay, great. That gives me a week to deal with Gary Brett, who's the general manager at Uncle Giuseppe's, to figure out they don't take checks. How do we do this? Maybe I'll pay and Beacon House can pay me back. Well, then I need a receipt. Then I have to create one. Just working through those little nuances there so we can just say, okay, every week you're going to get a supply of meat here. Every week you're going to get a pallet of toilet paper from here. It's a big undertaking, and I'm hoping a couple more people, especially some of these people in powerful positions and some of these big wigs, the corporate types from Long Island, step in and say, you know, I have some hooks. And that's who we have to get to. I know you're working on some producers to help us get the message out. You know, we have a lot of famous people from Long Island. We need to reach out to them and let them use their influence to address this problem, because it's 22 a day dying from suicide. When Corona hits them, it's going to double. And I'm talking about the frustration of not getting their treatment, or the counselors are down. You know what I'm saying?
Question. Listen, this is a time of need right now, okay? Nobody can be sitting on their hands, and that's the bottom line. You know, listen, and I know some things are on the back burner. You and I spoke a couple of weeks ago with Congressman Tom Suozzi, 3rd District, regarding the fluke bill, the fluke cancer, liver fluke cancer, ladies and gentlemen. People still suffering, and they need answers as far as treatment, what's being set up funding-wise. This is the type of stuff, right, Rob? We basically are awaiting stuff like this, but things sometimes have to be on the back burner. I haven't heard anything of you regarding the flu.
No, and I was talking to Jerry Wiggins the other day, and we had a plan. We were going down to D.C. I contacted the Capitol Police, and I wanted to find out exactly what did we need to do to knock on doors of congresspeople and ask them what their position is, especially on the Veterans Affairs Committee. But again, with social distancing and, it's throwing a monkey wrench into all the plans we had to tackle liver fluke. So, again, it's on the back burner. There's really nothing we could do. They're so focused on the infighting over the stimulus package that it's like these guys can't do three or four things at one time. I think everyone who wants to be a congressperson or a senator has to go into service first. That should be a prerequisite. Because they can't do more than one thing at a time. Like, they're focused on the stimulus bill. Why can't you focus on other things? Like people dying from liver fluke. Or people still suffering from Agent Orange.
Well, that's what it is. It's walking and chewing gum is not in the cards as far as the fine folks on Capitol Hill these days. They are more accentuating a refurbishment of the Kennedy Center for $35 million. They're more involved as far as new limits on greenhouse gases there, Captain. Minority credit card unions and banks. Do I need to go on, sir? Lucky we actually have an agreement in place regarding a $2 trillion stimulus package, Captain Cornicelli.
I don't understand where they feel the government has a right to go to a corporate board and say, you're not going to pick the best people, man, woman, regardless of race or religion, to run this company. You're going to do it according to demographics. It just doesn't happen, and that's why the military is the most respected organization in the country. That horse, that stuff doesn't go. It's whoever is the best trained and the most knowledgeable, and they come out with those leadership skills to be able to do what we're doing here, which is, we're focusing on getting them food and supplies, but we're also saying this is going to be over. We can't have that vacuum where, okay, it's all over. All these homeless veterans are the ones suffering on the outside. I have a guy right now. His car's broken down. He's trying to go out and find a job and get himself out of debt. I think he's 80% disabled. And we're going to have nothing for him when this is over because we're focusing on it. That's why I'm now looking at the sheriff's office, and I can't wait to sit down with Sheriff Tuam because he sounds like an amazing person. I mean, everything within the sheriff's department, when you come out of the service as an NP or your logistics or supply or clerical staff, they have positions within the sheriff's office that they could fill. It's a perfect transition. So we're looking down the road. I like President Trump's positivity, saying that he wants people back to work, Easter time. I don't think that's going to happen, but he just always tries to stay positive. But we're doing the same thing. We're looking at it like this is going to be over tomorrow. Where are the jobs for these guys and girls?
That's certainly cause for concern. We got to get through this. Certainly cautious optimism as far as April 12th, 18 days, of course, Easter. So I don't know about that. You're listening to Vets Talk with the Captain, Robert Cornicelli. Captain, I'll give you a final word. Anything we need to know as far as the future weeks are concerned here?
I know your producers are trying to get the logo and our contact information on the website, and I am begging people, Jay, and I'm really begging, please, just go. A lot of people are home now. Find your old iPads, your old iPhones, your old laptops, wipe them clean, get them to me. I will get them to these three organizations so these guys and girls can get their services. Please, if you go to the store and you happen to see an old friend as a manager, speak to them. Ask them if there's a way they could set aside supplies for the homeless veteran shelters. If we don't do this, we're going to have homeless veterans dropping. They're not going to be able to social distance themselves within that environment. We need to keep those places spick and span. please, you see your buddy behind the counter at a butcher, ask them. Talk to the manager. Get us a contact number so we can make some sort of arrangement. Nothing is for free. We don't need donations. We need pipelines. I'm begging, Jay. I know you are. We don't do something soon. We're going to have a major hit on the homeless veteran population.
We can't allow that to happen. We will keep getting the word out. And, you know, let's hope people follow suit of what Uncle Giuseppe's, Walmart, everybody's doing here as far as food and supplies. Very important that we keep this going. Very important the job you do, and a tremendous job. And I can't thank you enough. You know, a lot of we told the folks earlier, Captain, the sheriff, hopefully we'll have Sheriff Toulon on the next show, we do. He is the real deal, without question. Tremendous man. And we'll look forward to that. What do you think?
I'm taking your word for it. I haven't met him yet. I hear great things about him. And I think, from what I've heard, that he possibly could be open to helping us find landing spots. We want active duty people to come back to the island, not flee Long Island. When you retire from the military, your salary's set. So if you make this $40,000 retirement, that's nothing here. You can go. You may be able to go live in Tennessee for that, but it doesn't cut it here. They need to come back to a full-time job right away. I have high hopes that Sheriff Toulon will help us put some sort of bridge program together. Well, what else are you going to do but hope?
Listen, he's a tremendous guy. We look forward to the next time. You're a tremendous guy as well. We thank you, as always, for your service. 21 years, ladies and gentlemen. 8 in the U.S. Navy, 13 in the U.S. Army for the captain, Robert Cornicelli. And we thank him, and we thank Turley, Redmond, Rosasco, and Rosasco for their 5 locations, including that of Ronkonkoma, 631-750. 7815, specializing in so much, workers' comp, Social Security, disability, construction, accident, and veterans' disability benefit cases right here on the island, as well as New York City. Sir, a pleasure. Keep us in the loop. Whatever you need, please don't hesitate, okay?
Thank you so much, Jay.